If you're in this place, and if you're watching now by way of television, even on social media, this is the presence of the Lord. The Lord is in this place. And He's calling you. He's calling you by name. For He says in His word that before He even formed you in your mother's womb, He knew you. There is one who intimately knows you. And He is Almighty God. He is the one who was responsible for knitting you together in your mother's womb. And even now He is calling you by your name. And as you have responded, have your way. The Lord is faithful and true. So if you're in this place or watching now by way of television, and you've never ever given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or it is that maybe you have tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good, but you know what? Something happened and you have fallen away from the truth. You have departed from the way. It's not over for you can come back into the arms of a loving Savior. The Bible says that God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that all of those who will believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So if that is you, on any one of those two invitations, even if you're here in this place today, I want you to just raise your hand. If that is you, on any one of these two invitations, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we're going to pray this prayer. Simply believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say this: Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I've sinned against You. I now repent of all of my sin, and I ask that You will forgive me. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my life. Touch me. Change me. Set me free. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you've just prayed that prayer and you're right here in the house, come on, I want you to jump up quickly. We've got so many people wanting to minister to you some more. And if you've been watching by way of television, connect with us. Send us an email, whatnow@myfaithtv.com. And we want to ensure that you are walking on the path of righteousness from this day. Come on, right there where you are. Come on, can we just give a round of applause to God? For He is good, and His love, His mercy endures forever. Come on, can I have a witness in this place? Hallelujah! Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, since you're all seated already, pretty much all of you, I would love for you to get your Bibles and your notebooks and your pens. We only have a few short minutes left to get into the Word of the Lord. But nonetheless, as you get ready and you get your Bible, your notebook, and your pen, also get your mobile device or your iPad, whatever it is that you have, to take some notes. And while you have your device, quickly, just briefly, don't be distracted now, but go onto Facebook and share the live feed. Go to myfaith.tv's Facebook page. Share the live feed now. Something is going to happen. You say something has already happened. Yes, it has. But even in the release of the word, the Lord is about to depart revelation right into your spirit man today. How many of you have that expectation today? Amen. You see, when we gather together in His name, we are supposed to have an expectation. The moment you no longer have an expectation, when you come together sitting under the Word of God, or might I even add, the anointed Word of God, when we are in this place and you do not have an expectation, that is a telltale sign that you're busy with religion. Because religion, by definition, then is void of supernatural encounters with the living God. But today I want to talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness, which I deem to be the product of both faith and obedience. Faithfulness. When you look at the word faithfulness, and as you can see it right there to my left on this big screen, the word faithfulness, when you look at that word, maybe it's just me, but when I look at that word, it's like three distinct words jump right at me. The words faith, the word faithful, and the word fullness. You see, many people, many Christians claim to have faith, yet they never ever truly experience the fullness of all that God has for us. Despite it being God's desire that it says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, may grace, which is favor and peace, be yours in full measure. But why is it then that Christians who claim to have faith never experience the full measure of God? Because of that word that I mentioned right there in the middle between faith and fullness is the word faithful. The reason then why many Christians are not living in the fullness, the full measure of God, is not as a result of God's faithlessness, but due to a lack of obedience to the application of their faith. You can write that down. It is due to the lack of obedience to the application of their faith. Thus, to conclude, it is not only about faith then. Rather, it is about both faith and obedience. Let's look at that word faithful for just a second. In the Greek New Testament, the word faithful speaks of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business or the execution of commands or to discharge their official duties. You see, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 in the Amplified says that God is faithful. He is reliable, trustworthy, and ever true to His promise. Indeed, He can be depended on. But here's the question. Since we now know that God is faithful, the question now becomes, are you truly faithful? 2 Chronicles 16:9 in the New Living Translation says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed, those who are faithful towards Him. One of the things that I realized in becoming part of this ministry and joining this ministry 6 years ago was from my religious background. For those of you who do not know my testimony and my story, I come from a very reformed background, a very Afrikaans and a very conservative and very reformed background. Theologically, and during theological training, you are taught the importance of orthodoxy. Orthodoxy referring then to the right beliefs. And then you are in essence nudged to shun that which is referred to as orthopraxy, which refers to the correct way, the correct practice. But then I realized that it's actually about both. It is about both the orthodoxical as well as the orthopraxic. You say, well, surely that is not true. Well, let's look at what the word says. Because what I've determined is that correct belief compels correct action, and incorrect action is caused by incorrect beliefs. What does the Bible say? James 2 and verse 19 in the New King James says that you believe that there is one God. So in other words, it's about believing. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. The book of James gives us a very powerful revelation that it's not just about saying, I believe. Because even the demons believe and they tremble in fear. And I don't know about you, but I do not perceive that there are some demons who are heading towards heaven because they believe. Amen. Don't look at me like that. If you don't know, understand what I'm saying right now, you need to enroll with Faith Global Institute. FaithGI.com. We'll see you soon. James 2 verse 14 says this. Let's continue. James 2, 14 in the Amplified. It says, what is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. Verse 17, so too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Verse 18 in the New King James says, but someone will say, there's always that one who has something to say, you have faith and I have works. Show me now your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. But sadly, many Christians measure their level of spiritual maturity by what they know or what they think they know, and then ultimately claim to believe. What I've discovered in my own faith walk and being the pastor of this local church even more so is the fact that we should be more concerned with faithfulness in obeying than measuring maturity based on our knowledge. The Pharisees in the time of Jesus were knowledgeable, yet Jesus looked at them, pointed at them, and referred to them as nothing but whitewashed tombs. And this is because the fullness of God cannot be found in religion. The fullness of God is found in true, meaningful, intimate relationship with the Father. As we prepare to land this aircraft in the next few minutes with the time we have remaining, just stay with me today. This is why I urge you to make notes. Stewardship, I refer to as the art of faithfulness. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, all the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Now, typically in church, that is something that causes the entire congregation to jump up. Amen. When we remind ourselves of the fact that God's word says, all the gold and all the silver is mine, says the Lord. And then Psalm 24 verse 1, I love this. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, since we have been given the keys to the kingdom, since we were tasked to have dominion upon this earth, it is very clear then that from God's perspective, He has appointed us as stewards over the fullness of the earth. But listen to this. Don't get too excited yet, because there is a little asterisk there at the end, and it says you have to read the fine print. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. If there's one verse you highlight today, it's this one. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 4 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards, of which all of us are, that a man be found faithful. In Luke 16, We read about the unjust steward. Luke 16, verse 10 to 11 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." Now, I read the scripture this week again, and I noticed something that I'd never seen before. It just jumped right at me from the word. And it's found in verse 10. Listen to this very carefully. It says, "He who is faithful in what is least." He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. Did you get that? It does not say if you are faithful, those who are faithful in the least will be, future tense, faithful with the much. It is written from the same present tense. Who is faithful with the least is faithful also in much. You see, the master was basically saying this: I can see your next level by how well you manage your current level. Faithfulness then is the management of spiritual things. And it is our responsibility to be obedient at our current level. Then I'm sure you all know this, the parable of the 10 talents. In Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." Did you catch that? Did you hear that? You see, what had happened is over time, the master was studying them, observing them. He recognized their ability at their level, which is then why he distributed his wealth to them to trade with based on their own level. His wealth was delivered and distributed to them not based on their ability to be spiritual. Did you get that? But on how well they manage at their current level. According to societal norms today, people would be up in arms if this happened now in 2021. Surely it should be distributed equally, they would say. Surely everyone should have gotten the same measure. Yet, the end of the parable reveals that the master was 100% accurate in his assessment because he had observed them. And again, I remind you, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro all the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. And in the end, God will, as this master did, God will command accountability. Ultimately, all of us will stand in front of him in eternity. And the question will be asked, how did you appropriate the measure of faith that I had given you? Did you steward well? And how we all long to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We all want to hear those words. We all want to hear the Lord say and proclaim over us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my eternal peace." However, this will only be said of those whose lives have been marked by their faithfulness, which is the product of both faith and obedience. And so it is that I want to get you even right now. We've got a minute or so left to get the communion elements right there where you are. Just quickly get them. I want to ask that you would just quickly bring up the communion elements. We're doing things a little bit differently today. But get it ready. Faithfulness is the product of both faith and obedience. And I'm reminded of the fact that Jesus is the one of which the Bible says he was obedient unto death, like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was silent. If any one of us would have been accused of a crime we had not committed, and we were standing in front of the accuser, standing in front of the judge, who would not plead their case? Who would not defend themselves? Who would not kick and scream, pleading, "I'm innocent"? Yet he knew. And 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the importance of that power, the significance of the power to lay it down. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He was faithful until the very end. And so with the bread in your hand, Father, we thank you that this bread in our hand represents the body of Christ that was willingly, freely, faithfully given to us. We declare today that by Jesus's stripes we have been healed, and therefore we declare divine health now to come into everybody. Every sickness, every disease is nullified. Every cancerous tumor is destroyed now in Jesus' name. Blood is cleansed now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Jesus giving us, being the ultimate sacrifice. And as Jesus was faithful, we declare we will be faithful. In Jesus' name, you may partake of the bread. The Bible says that night that Jesus was betrayed, even knowing that he was about to be betrayed by one of those who were closest to him, he still took the cup. He said that this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we remember. We remember the blood. We remember the crown of thorns. We remember the nails. We remember the blood. And that to this day, the blood still speaks. We thank you in Jesus' name. You may partake of the cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that even now from this day, that we will be found among the faithful. We declare that from this day we will be faithful, and that we will see great and mighty things, signs, wonders, and miracles being a daily occurrence in our lives in Jesus' name. God bless you all. See you again soon.